When we started this podcast, it seemed like we had to figure it all out on our own. Scripts, setup, filming, schedules, logos. It was super overwhelming, and every day seemed to introduce a new decision that needed an answer. When you're starting off with something new, it seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and that list can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tools that not only helps you out, but simplifies everything can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the e-commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like us at Crypt Nation and the Crypto 101 podcast, where you can get our book and merch, to brands that are just getting started. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing... Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. Go to shopify.com/crypto101. That's shopify.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Rundown. Listen, if you've been subscribed to the Crypto 101 channel, you have been given a winner each week over the last month. Coming off of last week's episode, this week alone, hype is up over 40% as the ETF momentum builds for hype. Venice continues to ride the AI trail coattails. So today, we're breaking down the top altcoin news that you need to know going off of what we've been talking about over the last month. So if you're new here, hit the bottom right right now. Bottom right, hit the logo, subscribe, give this video a thumbs up because you're in the right place. There's tons of crypto alpha going on. And even though Bitcoin is facing some up and down tailwinds because everyone's watching what Bitcoin's doing and Ethereum's doing and wondering when the next big price movement happens there, there's a lot of momentum happening underneath the market. So we're going to continue to break that down, talk a little bit of altcoins, and then as the thumbnail showed you, there is one major thing that we think we want to watch out for the Bitcoin and Ethereum trade. So we're going to break that down later in this episode as well. Welcome back, Brian. Let's dive right in because, again, the momentum that we've been seeing on some of the calls that we've been doing. Again, we write it up in the community. So if you're in the community, you've been getting the newsletters, you've been getting the content about this for now months, about some of these projects that we've been writing up. And then again, if you just listen to the podcast, we've been talking about it over the last couple of weeks. So again, depending on where you are in our community and the spectrum is kind of where you get this information in a timely manner. But let's pull up hype, because what a week for Hyperliquid. Let's just pull up the chart, the 1 week chart. Brian, let us know what you're seeing, what you're feeling. Obviously, a lot of excitement when you can pull a winner out like this in a crypto winter like we have. So let's talk about it, and then there's a lot of news around it.
I mean, we've been talking about hype for well over a year now, man. I know within our community, with the Crypto 101 communities, if you're part of our communities, you've certainly heard the ticker hype or heard about Hyperliquid. 11 employees, absolutely printing revenue. And it's been on a nonstop rocket ship upward. And it's been great, dude. I'm a hype bull. I said it on Friday. I was like, I really like where hype is. I said it the week before. I really like where hype is. We're not trying to give these calls on the rundown, because what we're trying to do on the rundown is just present everyone a little bit of information. Tell them about the market. Tell them what we're seeing. But it does feel like that we're nailing some of these live on air, and for good reason. Hype is absolutely smashing. I still love Hyperliquid. I mean, it's printed like a 40% candle this week, so I don't know if I would be like putting all my retirement into Hyperliquid, but there is a clear path where this does not feel like the top. And everything, nothing goes up in a straight line, everyone. So there's going to be days to get into it. But I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid, man. It flips Solana's FTV. It makes a lot of revenue. It has great mechanics. It's just doing great, dude. Oh man, super producer. Look at this guy.
I got you.
Just throwing this up there. I missed it. It's just been a great project, and it's not even open. The platform's not even open to the United States yet. People, so there's some unique things going on with Hyperliquid that you can actually leverage. You know, it's a perp site. It's an L1, but they're mostly known for their perps. And whenever gold and silver and all the oil were going crazy, people were going to Hyperliquid to long and short these commodities. Now we have SpaceX IPO. It's kind of been the talk of the town recently. And Hyperliquid was the first, and I think Binance just put it on their perps, but it was the first and only for quite a while where you could actually get exposure to the SpaceX IPO by longing and shorting it. And all we want is people going there, messing around with the Hyperliquid platform because they take the fees and then they burn them. It's just a really great project. And I'm happy that we've called it out for a lot of our listeners. I know a lot of people in the community, and shout out everybody that is in our community because we wouldn't be here without you. They have exposure to it, and we've been having some fun talking about it because how couldn't you love this project, especially when the price goes up? It's been great.
Yeah, like you said, the revenue, especially for the amount of people, that's kind of something that I know you and I covered when we were talking about the Coinbase layoffs, is how Hyperliquid is doing this with so small employees and team members. It's pretty crazy. And I think the fact that you can't use it in the U.S. is going to continue to be by design until the old guards get their peace, which is what they're doing, because what a week. What a week for the hype ETFs. So I know Bitwise has one, I think is Grayscale. What's the other one? What's THPY? Who owns that one? Do we know?
Not off the top of my head.
THPY, Hyperliquid. 21 shares.
That's
21
it.
Shares. And Bitwise, the volume jumps 50% again yesterday. Just a ton of action in these ETFs. We covered it up until the point when they went live. Huge demand. And Bitwise is really leaning into it. I'm working on trying to get Matt Hogan, the CIO of Bitwise, back on the program, friend of the show, of course. And we want to get some information because they're really pushing it. And as they should, it's a new product of theirs. Obviously, it's something they believe in. I believe I saw 10% of all Hyperliquid purchased through the ETF, 10% is going to be purchased by Bitwise and put onto their balance sheet. And Bitwise is known for trying to really get into the community like they did for the Bitcoin Developer Program for their ETF. I believe they're having a pizza day for Bitcoin Pizza Day coming up. So I obviously we're huge fans of Bitwise. They come on the program at least twice a year, so it's time to get them back on. And these ETFs, you know, when Bloomberg starts talking about it, you know it's a successful launch. And so you got to start asking yourself, you know, with the revenues that we just showed earlier in the show, let's see, up triple digits this year. Hype is up triple digits this year, outperforming Bitcoin, ETH, BNB, and Coinbase. Not Robinhood, though. Love that. No, just kidding. Robinhood too after that correction. But it's one of those projects that, again, it's fascinating. So here's where I was going with this, Brian. It's fascinating that we can't use Hyperliquid in the US without a VPN. Not personal financial advice for anybody to go use Hyperliquid if you live in the US. But then we have multiple ETFs in the US trading in the markets and people buying it up. I find that fascinating. It feels like the word's out on this technology and people are gobbling it up, as you can see from those ETF flows.
Yeah, man, the ETF flows are huge. And again, for good reason, it's a great product. And we can probably go back and look at a lot of our past rundowns. And obviously well over a year, we've been talking about Hype and Hyperliquid. And it had a correction. We had ample opportunity to buy this in the 30s for a very long time. But we were kept saying like, hey, the fundamentals are great. The revenue's great. They're a good product. They just are delivering on the product. It's just not like vaporware out there. Like, oh, we could do this or we might do this. No, they have a really great product. It's smooth. They've utilized their platform quite a bit. I stake Hype on their platform. And it's been a fabulous product. So I'm a big believer. I don't know if I'd be like I said, slamming buying at an all-time high today. But I think into the next bull run, and this is not financial advice, it's just a guy talking coins, and I have exposure to this, so I want everyone to know, I think we're going to 100. I think in the next bull run, we're over $100 hype. That's just, it feels like this, like Solana was kind of the darling, you know, for a very long time. And I still love Solana, but it was a darling, especially in the bull run. I think hype could really steal some attention here. And then we have Anthropic's IPO upcoming. We got OpenAI's IPO upcoming. And we're not going to be able to get exposure to that. I'd love to get some exposure to Anthropic, but, you know, I'm just some retail guy. But I can go on Hyperliquid and leverage long or short those IPOs, pre-IPOs, once they get announced. So I think it's just going to drive more attention and more demand. And they're not just sucking money out of their platform with 10,000 employees. Slick product, great revenue. It's exactly what we're looking for in crypto. And that's why we've been so hot on it. So I know there's a lot of listeners in on hype, and for good reason. And let's just ride this train. It's a killer ticker, man. I just love saying hype, 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 hype.
Yeah, it almost funny you say that, as my momentum moneymaker, my meme coin king, it kind of being hype, it kind of has a little bit of a meaning, a memification ability, because again, I think that this is at the point now, you're not listening, you're not watching any finance channels and they're talking about Hyperliquid yet, but I believe you will be. Because I think that once this thing really starts to get integrated, we saw that they announced a partnership with Coinbase. I can only imagine. I think you're going to see a lot more partnerships, maybe with like the NASDAQ, different companies around trading, Citadel, who knows? I obviously don't have any insider information for that, but you're going to start to see these partnerships. And then it's going to start, then once the old guards pile up into the ETF and they get their partnerships and get their piece of the pie, then you're going to see the rollout into trading in the US, exactly like the it's going to be exactly like the betting markets, your Polymark. Remember, we were on the Polymarket betting market super cycle before we had any access in the US, and then all of a sudden your neck's breaking with how many different betting market apps you can use. Polymarket, Kalshi, DraftKings betting markets, this betting market, betting market this, betting market that. I feel like Hyperliquid is kind of has the pathway paved for them via the betting market kind of super cycle that went on. Everybody's going to figure it out. Everybody's going to get the piece of the pie, and then they're going to be it's going to be open season for the Hyperliquid usification for the U.S. What are your thoughts on that take?
I love that take, man. I could talk Hyperliquid for the entire rundown. That's how much I love the take on Hyperliquid and what they're doing, my guy. It's a great again. It's just a great product and good revenue. And I don't think it's topped off. I I'm not buying it at an all-time high, but I think there's some opportunity.
Oh, you're not a price discovery mode believer?
You know, maybe. I mean, I'm not selling. I'll tell you that much. And I bought some yesterday. So again, not financial advice. I was getting kind of caught up in the FOMO. In the group chats with my friends that aren't huge crypto savvy guys, I told them a couple months ago when they were, you know, they want to use a centralized exchange, and hype just got listed on some centralized exchanges. And they were like, hey, what's something other than like the Bitcoin that I always tell them to, like, you know, hold on to? And it was hype. And you best believe I fired off some screenshots to the boys today. So that does feel a little like top signal. But again, this could be price discovery. And and you're right. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's not even being covered as much as it should be. And I think we're going to start hearing more and more people in the standard outside of the crypto world talking about hype and Hyperliquid.
Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg, because again, remember, we are in crypto winter. And even though this chart is looking possibly a little extended as it goes into all time highs, I think it's one of those things when you're in these, and this is what we're going to cover later in the show, so a little teaser, when you're in these kind of macro environments where nothing seems super clear, it's not a green light for all risk assets by any means in this interesting time that, again, we'll discuss that in a little bit. But I think you're going to have opportunities to get in here over you know, the course of some volatility. So something to keep a lookout for. We got some people in the chat here. We got Grant from Tampa. Always love to see Grant back in the chat. He's been gone for a little bit. Good to see Grant. Good to see Deb out in Santa Barbara. Holy Whale, I believe, up in Canada. Baylor Bears here. Good to see the Bear back. Who else is here? Let us know in the comments who is here watching. Where are you watching from? Let us know. And as always, give it a like, subscribe, bottom right if you're new. CJE, he says, CJE, friend of the show, hype or VVV, which is Venice? Interesting question, CJE, because if you want to talk price discovery, that's what's going on today in Venice Token, hitting an all-time high today. Today, folks, a little volatile, like 24 hours, up and down, breaking out here, a little 1 month, a nice little dip there. Venice, 1 month, 100%. 1 week, 30%. Is Venice Token something that we talked about last week, Brian? Could you remind me?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. We brought up the chart. Hey, shout out to the Momentum Moneymakers. Well, the whole crew. We've been talking about this forever. But we called this sucker on April the 16th at a $50 million market cap. Its market cap right now is much higher than that.
$853 million.
I mean, in Joe and I did a great job breaking that down in a lot of obvious reasons with the AI trade and privacy and the guy behind this, Eric Voorhees. And CJ, I saw that comment come up when he goes, VVV or hype. Not going to lie, kind of gave me like the bubble guts a little bit because I wasn't sure how to answer it because not only did I buy a little bit of hype yesterday, I bought some VVV because I love both these projects. There's three projects that I'm like pretty hot. I mean, there's a lot of like meme coins and fast movers that we talk about weekly within Momentum Moneymakers. But there's three projects that I've been pretty hot on for a very long time right now. And that's been Hyperliquid. That's been Venice. And I've liked Zcash for a long time as well. And all three of them have been performing. But yeah, Tebow, we talked about Venice on Friday, and it was a great opportunity to get in on it. And again, I still think this has room to run. And it kind of tells the same story as hype. Like, do I want to buy an all-time high? Like, that's not my trading style to buy an all-time high, but I also hold a lot. So if I bought here and was just like, hey, I'm just going to hold this for a while, I feel completely comfortable because I think this has some serious fundamentals, has some good technicals, and I think we keep going, man, and I'm excited. So hype and VVV, to answer CJE's question, if you're asking that question, I'd probably just split it 50-50 down the middle, not financial advice, but that's the play I've been doing.
Yeah, it's interesting here. I'd love to get either Hunter or Brendan on the show. Maybe we can break down some technicals next week when we have one of them on, because you do have a little bit of like a head and shoulders here. So is momentum going to fade? But Venice Token being tied to the AI trade, you know, is it going to go higher? We all, NVIDIA just reported earnings. That was good. Obviously, there's the kind of the memory trade and the semi trade and the power trade all based around this AI thing. So Venice is riding the AI coattails. If there's a cool off, I mean, you could definitely go see it kind of testing. We don't have the moving averages up, but going to test kind of some support levels down in there. But again, doing your research, understanding what you want to own, you got to make your own financial decisions, but maybe that's an area to get in if there is a cool off period. Something that we'll cover on the show, but more importantly, something that we'll cover inside the community and you can get first alerted. Like Brian said, you gave this out at a what market cap, Brian?
Right around a 50 million. I mean, a bottom ticked to right around 50 million. So let's just say between a 50 and a $75 million market cap. It was April the 16th. I looked it up a little bit ago to confirm. But yeah.
Yeah, basically down here. And then you're
riding 50, 60 million.
Unbelievable call.
And people ask, like, how did we notice that? Well, they have a great founder, a great story, a really great project. And we noticed that the AI trade was starting to pick up more and more people. And that's not just in crypto. That's just across the entire stock market. It's across everything. Anything with AI was starting to boom, but for good reason. And Venice had this story around being a privacy layer connected with LLMs. Of partnerships, and then Eric Voorhees is a great founder. So we kind of took all that information. I still remember the morning Joe and I sat down. We're like, we like this VVV token, and credit to Joe, he really liked it as well. And I was like, man, we should make it a call, and we've been riding it ever since. I know our community's been happy with it, so I'm fired up for them. And again, I still think that has room to run. Not to say it's not going to correct and we're not going to have a better buying opportunity. I think that's certainly on the table because nothing goes up in a straight line. But it's just a great project. So those are two of my favorite projects right now in crypto. And just to go, even though like Bitcoin and Solana and Ethereum are in this weird choppy section, doesn't mean that there's not really great opportunity. And this is why people need to be paying attention to what's happening in the crypto market. Because once those majors start going, what the heck's everyone think some of these top alts are going to do? I don't know if we'll have this complete alt season where anything you buy is going to go up, but I think some top alts are just going to absolutely rip.
People are asking, when's altcoin season? And again, final call for Momentum Moneymakers. If you're somebody that wants this type of information, if you want the first alerts to be able to go in and get those trades at the $60 million, again, a little bit more risky. You got to be a little bit more involved and do your research. But if you want to join inside the community, we have a dollar trial for Brian and Joe's Momentum Moneymakers, as we do when they join the show. So scroll down in the description, check out that link. For $1, you can get their entire lineup, their entire picks, and test out the Momentum Moneymakers community to see if those type of alerts and education is something that you'd be interested. Give it a look. These guys are unbelievably hot over the last, it feels like 2 months now, which is just, you know, credit to you guys for doing that in kind of a macro sideways market. It's just been so interesting, right? Like software down, AI trade up, Bitcoin not necessarily down in the last month, but over the year, kind of Bitcoin down, Ethereum down. But like, man, just some absolute winners in both the meme department and Venice being an AI trade, plus Hyperliquid just absolutely, you know, dominating the revenue space of the trading market. And if you're interested, Robinhood did just launch VVV, which is Venice. So if you're wondering and you couldn't find Venice token, VVV now live on Robinhood. Let's see, 10,000 tokens. Which one was this?
This was from Friday.
All right, sorry, folks. The pat on the back continues. If you tuned in to the live last Friday, that was 6 days ago, we gave an NFT call. It was free to mint, correct? It was a free mint.
It was 0.01, and you could mint three of them. It ran all the way up to 0.15. Just today, it's kind of gone down quite a bit because what we talked, check it out on Friday, but what we talked about is that we were still waiting for the mechanics. You burn this NFT and you can launch your own token. But just at the time, it was a new mechanics where they're utilizing NFTs. Really innovative, really interesting. And Joe and I were like looking at each other on Friday. I think it was during the show. It was still live. And we both minted, max minted. I bought some on the secondary, I think the next day. And it ran all the way up to 0.15 Ethereum. So a 15x from mint. Amazing. You know, I sold my position a few days ago because, you know, I say it all the time. Like, if you're going to 5-10x a position, sell some. Take some profit so you can really ride it. I completely exited it, but I'll probably look to maybe get back in it at the right time. And it was a good time to sell because it's gone down since then, but still a 5x from mint. What if I told you that this Friday we had a opportunity between a 5 and 15x. Everybody and their mother would pile into it. So anybody, I know there's some people in our community that got into it. They heard about it on the rundown because they messaged me. We were kind of like, you know, patting ourselves on the back, everybody in the community. But congrats to anybody that got it. Very cool mechanics. But it just goes to show you, it's another reason why, even though we're trading sideways with some of these bigger, larger market caps, there's opportunity out there. And it's not something to pile our money into, but let's have some fun. It's time to pay attention because you can catch a 5 to 15X as easy as just minting an NFT.
And then again, yeah, that was a great call. That's what you got, a 15X just for watching the rundown on Friday. That's how cool this show is. We appreciate everybody tuning in live on the YouTube. Somebody said they're watching from my mother's house. Internet Money Man, thank you so much. Hopefully you took your shoes off, because if you didn't, I'm sure you got a spanking. Moving on, we got to talk about some fears for Bitcoin, as kind of we said in the title and in the thumbnail, which Brian looked like an absolute Bitcoin superhero. What's holding Bitcoin back? People were wondering. We kind of had the momentum from the markup for the Clarity Act, and then there was a pop there, especially in some crypto equities, some altcoins, but it wasn't sustained. It was kind of a sell the news, which we warned about. Nobody really knew how that might take off. Now it's kind of going to be Poly Markets in that range of like what, the 60-65 to 70% range for the Clarity Act to actually pass. If it's going to pass, it looks like it's going to be June or July. So any news or any of the Democrats that come out that could be a huge swing vote and start to support this thing, the odds are going to go up. The momentum for the price action is going to go up, but we're not quite there yet. So from a macro level, the Clarity Act is still hanging over the crypto market. And then it's something that we haven't talked about, luckily, for 3 weeks now, 4 weeks now, because we just got so tired of it. But when it comes to what's going on in the Middle East, I don't even know what to call it anymore. The people call it the war. But there's shenanigans going on in the Strait of Hormuz. It's not fully unlocked, and it's causing a lot of stress, especially in the oil markets. And so as that happens and, you know, kind of it starts to leak into that inflation data, now's the point in time where, okay, if it happened and it was 3-4 weeks, not a big deal. Everything will kind of go on. But now that this stuff has been lingering for 6, 8, 9, 10 weeks, it's starting to get to the point where this stuff is going to creep into the inflation data. And we had a PPI, CPI reading last week, right? That was a little hot. And it's something that, again, the Fed is that wants to, in theory, cut rates with the new Fed chair, is going to come in and look at this data and be like, all right, I don't know. I don't know if we can cut. And then it doesn't even quite matter, because if they decide that they want to go crazy and cut, the bond market, the bond vigilantes, as they're called, are going to revolt. And your long end of the curve is going to go up, your 10-year, your 30-year, which we've started to see that start to creep up. So I wanted to just share, I pulled some charts there for some gas, some pump prices here. And so this arrow here in 22, that was where we kind of the Russia-Ukraine war started, and it got all the way up here. Here's where we started for Iran, and we've gotten all the way up here. So where does this end is an interesting kind of guessing game that nobody truly knows. I'm not pretending to know. I'm just seeing that, hey, the data here, it's a surge. Gasoline prices surge most ever after the start of the Iran war, from kind of the flat line all the way up. So it's something that I think worth noting, especially in the airline industry. I know jet fuel is a cause of concern, especially over in Europe. So that's something that I'm tracking. Brian, is there anything specifically that comes to mind from the macro trade? So the Clarity Act, inflation, what's your top kind of keeping an eye on for that Bitcoin, Ethereum, macro crypto trade?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing here is the market doesn't love uncertainty, especially these bigger market cap coins, like the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, like a lot of these major coins everyone's like using as a safe haven. So they don't love what's going on. It's back and forth about long what's going on with Iran. We got really great news around the Clarity Act last week. That was great news, and that was a sell the news type of event. We talked about it live. I think I had a perps open, if I remember correctly, and I was like, I'm closing this thing because I think we kind of peel back. And we're just going to probably chop in this upper 70s range. And we're really dependent on what's happening in the overall macro environment of news again. And that doesn't surprise me. And I think institutional interest is still very, very high in Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of paths for us to get to another all-time high, but we've said it a ton. This does not strike me as the time where we're just going to rocket ship up to $100,000. It's going to be a little bit of a dogfight back to 90, back to 100, and we're going to have funny, choppy weeks where we're all kind of just looking at each other like, what's going on here? But nothing overall makes me feel fearful about where the crypto market's going or where Bitcoin specifically is going. I'm still a permabull in Bitcoin. I just see some other opportunities in some of these other coins that we've talked about right now. And that's keeping some of my available funds on the sidelines where I might just buy Bitcoin and hold. Now I'm trading a little bit more in some other opportunities until we see a clear path or get a resolution in Iran or we get a Clarity Act, more momentum there. There's a path where we keep going. But I think you broke it down perfectly, Tivo.
Yeah, one thing that I'm keeping an eye on, I mentioned rates. I'll pull up this chart that I found. So again, this is a longer term chart that dates all the way back into the beginning of 2023. As you can see, you know, it's kind of been in a range. This 30-year is getting a little ahead of itself. Even the 10-year hasn't broken out compared to its highs since 2023. The 30-year has, and what that means for somebody that doesn't know what the 30-year is, like, okay, the U.S. sells debt to people. What's it going to cost? What percentage of a quote-unquote return is going to be needed to buy the 30-year bond? And the prices are going up. And that's because obviously there's a debt crisis. You know, we've talked about that, how the U.S. is, you know, just continuously adds on debt. There's wars, there's inflation, there's fears. So as this thing creeps up, and then I guess the average person I feel like doesn't truly understand that, okay, Kevin Warsh is the new Fed chair, and yeah, he's mouthpiece that he wants to lower rates, but it's a committee. It's not one person that can go in and say, hey, this is what we're doing. He's the focal point, definitely the mouthpiece of the Fed for sure as the Fed president, but he doesn't have a lever that he can just pull automatically by himself. He has a full committee. Chair Powell is staying on, as we covered, and he's going to be the punching bag for Trump. So honestly, it's kind of not that this is a rate Fed chair podcast. It's kind of almost, in a way, you could give a take that it's a little bit honorable of Chair Powell to stay on, because it kind of gives Warsh cover to not have to cut rates, or we're split, and because Powell's staying on, he's going to probably be the punching bag for Trump, because he's going to swear in, I think, Kevin Warsh on Friday, so I think he gets a little bit of a runway. Powell's going to be the punching bag, but there's no quick flip to lower rates. And then even if they do agree to lower rates and the economy's not on good standing and inflation's not under control and the debt's not under control, the bond market could revolt. So a lot of moving parts there. Not the most exciting thing to cover or watch, but it's something I'm keeping my eye on, because if the bond market really starts to rise, risk assets definitely take a back seat in that environment.
Yeah, well said, man. And I think you made a really great point there about how people might expect Kevin Warsh to come in and just like cut rates. I highly doubt that's going to be during his first meeting. Well, it's sometime in mid June. And yeah, you're right there. That is honorable of Powell to stay on just so Trump could hammer him on the background. I mean, that guy has got thick skin. Hats off to Powell for just taking licks left and right by the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah, well, that purple tie keeps him strong.
I'll never forget him.
If you would have told me, I would have took the other side of this trade, honestly. So, like, you know, I know me and you had our futures. I did Coinbase and scaled out. You did perps for Bitcoin. But if you would have told me that the Clarity Act markup went well and there was no crazy, you know, hold up on it and it was going to vote in the Senate, I wouldn't have personally bet that Bitcoin would have been down 5% on the week. You know, hey, we pat our backs a lot. I didn't see that one coming. Obviously, in strange, still green on the month, up 2%. But given some of those gains back, and I thought it was cool, a good time. We talked about, hey, here's what we're seeing from a macro environment. There's a lot of macro headwinds, I think, for Bitcoin right now. And I thought it was a cool time to bring up the crypto fear and greed, because we've been in that neutral for over a month now, which is great. Definitely climbing back from when we were in the red there, but it's starting to lean towards back to a little bit of fear, which I find really interesting, because again, it's the crypto fear and greed index, not just the Bitcoin one. And there's like we covered in the top of the show, man, there's winners to be had, but the whole market itself with the macro overhangs is starting to feel a little heavy as we go into the summer.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I don't know. It's kind of the summertime too. What, sell in May is always like
sell May go away.
Is that true? Probably to a point here. I'm not selling my Bitcoin anytime soon. And I agree with you. Did I expect it to be down 5% from that Clarity Act news? No, but I'm not overly surprised either. I still think there's a ways to go for us to. It's good. It's good. Like I said earlier, it's going to be a battle getting back to 80, getting back to 90. I think we get there, and I'm comfy in my bags, especially Bitcoin. But there's some other opportunities I'm certainly spending my time on.
Yeah. Well, if you sold in May last year, that wasn't the right call, because May 1st, Bitcoin was around 95. And then, you know, in August 15th, we're at 118, 120. So you didn't want to sell in May last year, specifically for Bitcoin. That's an old saying for the traditional markets. I actually think the data around that proves that that's not quite true. But there's just a lot going on. There's a lot with the macro. There's the new Fed chair. We've talked about all these things on the show. It's stuff that we're watching. It feels like being nimble. Being nimble is what Momentum Moneymakers is all about. Being nimble and changing your opinion and gathering the facts and getting educated is what it's all about in these markets. And you can't do it alone. And that's why we'd like to say, you know, hey, you're in the right place. We really appreciate everybody who always listens. So if you're new here, bottom right, hit the logo, subscribe. If you're enjoying this episode live, give us a thumbs up. We've got about a solid number of people here, so I want to see some solid number of thumbs up. And if you're interested in joining Brian's community with Joe, the $1 trial is in the description as always. As we continue on, let's see who's in the chat. Let's see, Baylor Bear's still there. Internet Money, what about Uniswap? Do we have any take on Uniswap? I mean, that's like, they kind of feels like taking a back seat, really.
Yeah, I don't want to speak too out of hand with Uniswap because I haven't looked at that chart or the price action recently. I mean, it's the number one DEX on Ethereum. I mean, it's not going anywhere, but probably need to kind of take a look at some things a little closer personally. I think there's maybe some better opportunities out there. But not to say Uniswap's not a great product. I mean, I use it all the time. I used it quite a few times yesterday.
Yeah, just token-wise and using sometimes is a little different. I know we put out a Chainlink podcast, and a lot of the comments were, love Chainlink, Chainlink Labs, token, not quite what we would have hoped for. So interesting. Well,
it's kind of like the ETH story too, right? Like, I love ETH and everything about ETH and what's going on
We'll get there. We'll get there.
I'm jumping around, man.
You're jumping around. Just to stick on Bitcoin, one last point. It was an interview with Scott Melker out of Consensus, I believe, where there's just making some noise on the U.S. Strategic Bitcoin Reserve. We covered it, and I think I went on a pretty long rant on that one. I was like, listen, would love to see it. Not going to believe it until it happens. But apparently there is a bill. It has bipartisan support. And I think it's just around not selling the Bitcoin, right? It's like basically the same thing as the executive order. No, any details you have, Brian?
You know, I thought it was interesting. And the reason why I kind of wanted to touch base on, I thought it was interesting because I believe it's co-led by Congressman Jared Golden, and he's a Democrat. So that's interesting. It has some bipartisan support. I haven't heard that a ton. I think the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve would be an absolute, I mean, that's what gets us like the rocket ship up to $100,000. I think we have what, like 25 billion in holdings or something around those lines with the United States. It's good to see that it's still being talked about within these congressmen. We're getting bipartisan support. So we're going to see how this continues to develop. I want to see it happen more than anybody. I don't think it's going to happen in the very near future, but it's great to see that's being talked about. And I think it's even more impressive that we have a Democrat and a Republican that are trying to figure this out. They see the value of holding Bitcoin. If that's buying Bitcoin, I think once we get more support, there will be more talks about buying and adding Bitcoin to the strategic reserve. But we'll see how this all goes. But it's great to see it being talked about still.
Yeah, I just came up with like a little tinfoil hat theory on the whole reserve. Should I rip it?
Yeah, man. I don't have my tinfoil, but get it out.
Yeah,
babe.
Take it out, throw it on. So I was just running this through my head. I was like, all this, you know, the administration on the crypto and this and World Liberty Fi and the Trump organization, the sons, the family getting so involved in it. And like, it came out of the gate hot. And then we want to get the Clarity Act passed, bipartisan support. So then what does that leave? So then midterms come in the fall. And, you know, if the space is in a good spot and Clarity Act gets passed, I think that's kind of what we said, like what might hold up the Clarity Act. And it's about, you know, rules of the road for families and government officials, specifically probably aimed at the Trump family, and what they'll be able to do. But like, let's just say in a perfect world, it gets passed and the Trump family likes it. Like in those last 2 years, you know, it's kind of a free for all. Like in theory, he's not going to get a third term. He can kind of do whatever he wants. So is that the green light for him to just go crazy on the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve and build this little World Liberty Fi, the Trump crypto army and all that, and then pump bags as he sails off into the sunset? Wouldn't be the first time we saw that in the crypto space.
And if there's a president that would do it, he's currently the president of the United States, so it's not even that far off of an actual tinfoil hat. It's probably what's more likely going to happen.
I was all in, like, listen, if you want my vote in the midterms this fall, you better do something for me now. Now I'm like, oh man, no, he's waiting. He's going to get us on the back end.
Whatever story we can draft up to get this strategic reserve across the finish line, I'm 100% in on. But the point is that if there's a guy that would probably do it, it's Trump. I mean, it just is what it is. Love him or hate him. That's exactly what it is.
True. And he's, you know, he's not shying away. I saw you wanted to talk about some U.S. regulators and Trump streamlining some rules for the Federal Reserve and fintech.
Oh, yeah. Trump just signed this executive order that's pushing regulators to streamline fintech rules and asking the Fed to remove access to payment rails for all these fintech and digital asset firms. So that probably sounds extremely boring. It was kind of boring to even say, but it's actually a really big crypto infrastructure story. This is about whether crypto companies, stablecoin issuers, fintech platforms can move closer to the core banking system instead of relying completely on partner banks. Now, to be clear, this isn't mean every crypto company is going to get this Fed master account tomorrow. There'll obviously be restrictions, bank pushback, regulatory safeguards. But directionally, this is a big deal. It shows the United States is moving towards integrating crypto into more of a traditional finance and keeping it out, instead of keeping it outside of the system. So it's great to see that they're still pushing in the direction we want. I think it's certainly notable to say, a little bit boring, but very important. So that's why it has to be talked.
Appreciate you bringing it up, because that did not come across my radar, but interesting stuff to stay apprised to, which we do here at the Crypto 101 podcast. You jumped the gun a little bit. You got a little excited.
I did.
And I know you want to talk about ETH. And there's a lot of news going around it, specifically for Bankless. So Bankless, I guess, maybe was one of the top podcasts in crypto, definitely one of the first. And they're pretty famous for being big ETH bulls, right? And so I don't say this out of spite by any means. I try not to watch. No, I did this all my career. Like, I just don't like to watch people that make content like we do, because I want to have my own thoughts. I don't want to take thoughts from other people. So I don't consume a lot of that content. I'm not really familiar with the, obviously I'm familiar with the brand and how big they are. I'm not familiar with as much the individuals, but a lot of people are leaving. It seems like some people are leaving. There was selling of the ETH, washing their hands of ETH, people leaving. I'm hearing rumors as a production person myself, seeing that some people got laid off. So an interesting pivot here for the Bankless team. Not sure where it ends up, but Brian, I think you're somebody that's, you know, probably more attuned to this whole team. So what are you seeing, and what's the takeaway before we dive into ETH, which it leads to?
Yeah, I've always liked David from Bankless, but he did announce, I mean, they were such ETH bulls. That's the thing. They were huge ETH bulls. This is like Tom Lee status ETH bull to me. And when he said, I think I put it on the tweet, they sold the last of his ETH. That kind of hits hard, because Bankless has been one of the loudest ETH-aligned brands in crypto for years. So when one of the guys says, I no longer hold ETH, it becomes a little bit of like, okay, exactly why don't you hold ETH? And you feel a little concerned. I don't think this means that David hates Ethereum. From what I've seen, he's separating Ethereum, the network, from the actual ETH, the asset. That's why I started talking about it earlier. You were bringing up Chainlink, and I'm a big Chainlink guy too, but the price doesn't feel like it moves for as much incorporation as it has in like all these institutions. And I do think it'll catch up. But the ETH asset has struggled with narrative. It struggled with price performance and then leadership urgency. So there's a little bit of that being said. And he kind of like leaned into talking about the leadership of ETH and Vitalik. And Vitalik is a brilliant individual. And he's been talking more about a privacy push in ETH. And I think privacy is a huge point, especially to the native chain. But Vitalik, he hasn't really cared about the price of ETH. You know, that's not, is that like the type of leadership that we want? Or do we want a guy that's more just like, hey, I want to improve the network and make it the foundation? So David pivoted off ETH. It's just something that we have to call out. I'm still personally trying to form my opinion on ETH. I still hold my ETH. I still love ETH the network. But he makes some good points that it doesn't feel like the price has moved the way we wish it was going to move, especially with all the adoption of the network that we've seen. So it's super interesting to see that David Hoffman sold his ETH. What is your thoughts on ETH just right now and where we could go in the future? Because I know we talk about Tom Lee and everything that's happening on ETH, but the price does feel like it feels a little suppressed.
Yeah, it's hard to think about a more talked about project between Bitcoin and ETH, specifically ETH, when Tom Lee took the helm and started building BitMine. It feels pretty critical to be constructive on the price action. Obviously, there's dips, but you know, I don't think it can go. In my opinion, like I don't think it can go back down to you know the last bear market low, full low of you know in the. Yeah. I think that would be hard to see and hard to come back from a narrative form. It's interesting to have the Ethereum Foundation and now all these dApps and all these other companies and projects that are so integrated into Ethereum and have the Ethereum Foundation continuously sell Ethereum is like probably the biggest red flag for me. It's not individuals. It's the foundation itself. Kind of selling it, but they're selling it, I guess, to people that they believe, you know, they kind of pick and choose who they sell to. It's not necessarily an open market sell. So that's the only thing that raises the red flag for me. It's hard. It's just hard when price action isn't going your way, but you know, there's been a lot of different trades where, you know, you're not necessarily wrong. You're just early. But there's also people like you see from the Bankless guys, you know, again, I don't think that's cutting a loss by any means. Those guys made shit. Sorry. Unbelievable, life-changing amount of money in that trade. So somebody like that, it's time to, you know, walk away with your winnings and go find your next trade or next big investment. But something like this that I saw is more interesting because Harvard, which wasn't, you know, a huge stake, is $87 million, but they liquidated their Ethereum position via the BlackRock Ethereum ETF. So, you know, and they just bought that recently, right? And they're trimming their Bitcoin ETF. So I don't know what, you know, a fund like that has a lot of people that manage it and make decisions in it. So maybe there's a leadership change in the fund and they don't believe in crypto. I don't have the specifics of why they're doing it, but it is interesting because they're selling it probably at a loss. And it's a newer investment for them, correct? So it's interesting to see that. But overall, I think the storyline's there. I believe in kind of crypto being the future of money. And I think that even though the AI trade has taken the momentum and a lot of the liquidity, I think we've talked about this on the show, how it circles back, right? All these AI agents that are going to be, you know, doing transactions on behalf of, you know, businesses and people. What's that settlement layer going to be? I don't think it's US dollars. And again, I don't have the answer, but I think this new crypto technology is kind of can be done in the language of these new AIs and it can simplify the transactions between them. So I really like that storyline and think that a lot of this momentum can circle back into the crypto markets. It's just, you know, it's not when it's not your time, it's not your time. And the grass always looks greener. And maybe you can time it right and run over to the other side of the green and hit some big trades. But, you know, you can also get caught in the rotation and buy the top, right? So that's kind of where I am. I'm not making any drastic moves. And I kind of believe in the research that, you know, we've done as a team and the show. So staying put because, you know, again, when you're getting wins like Hyperliquid, when you're getting wins like Venice, you know you're in the right area, right? You know, you got it kind of in a way, it kind of validates a lot of your decisions because you know you're still hitting at a high clip for some winners.
Yeah, to be clear, we're not bagging out like the Bankless guys did on our ETH positions. We're here with Tom Lee side by side. Certainly there's some other tokens that have done well. Rumor has it that Harvard probably sold that ETH position to buy the hype ETF. That's just a joke, but
didn't know if you had some inside baseball for us.
Oh yeah, this is. Wait, did you guys see this video at all? I had to put it on our sheet just because it's ridiculous. It's Tom Lee, and the other individual is David Hoffman. You gotta love AI, but that's what happens. That's what Tom Lee will do to you if you sell your ETH. And I actually found that because I was looking at David Hoffman of Bankless's Twitter page, and what a beauty, man! He retweeted it, which is ridiculously funny. But Tom Lee just punishing you if you sell your ETH.
I'm scared to sell my ETH after seeing this. That's pretty wild.
My son, who's 5 years old, saw me looking at that video today, and he goes, "Did that guy's teeth get knocked out?"
This is some big teeth.
No joke. I look right at him. I go, "Sure did. That's what happens when you sell your ETH." And he goes, "What's ETH?" And went running off.
"Do not sell your ETH," says Tom Lee, or "I'm coming for you via the Octagon." So I mean, we cover the news. It's what we do. And so, yeah, that's definitely not a little negativity around Ethereum. But, you know, there's certain famous things that can be bottom signals. So I think that's Bankless selling their ETH, I think, is something you put on the Ethereum chart just as a note. And you come back to it 3-6 and a year later and see what that looks like.
For sure.
And we'll continue to cover it. But yeah, I mean, friend of the show, Tom Lee, don't come at us. We'll be in your corner. We're in your corner. We're in your corner any day.
Steve's a cut man.
I'd be a good cut man, I think. We got some IPO news. This is something that, again, we will continue to cover because I think from a liquidity standpoint, it's important when this stuff comes to the public markets. The retail want for this IPO is going to be crazy. So SpaceX officially filing. I think it's coming live sooner rather than later. I think this is getting done in the next couple weeks, if not month, via Goldman Sachs. Big payday for Goldman Sachs, sick ticker GS, for bringing this live. So SpaceX coming live, and they have some Bitcoin on their balance sheet, don't they?
They got more than a little bit of Bitcoin, man. They got almost 19,000 Bitcoin, the treasury, almost 1.5 billion with a B. And it's been unchanged since 2024. Hey, whoever's making the call on what to add to their treasury at SpaceX, we need to get them on the show because they're probably sitting pretty comfy with those buys from 24. That was really interesting for me to see that SpaceX, it has all this Bitcoin in their treasury. But then you start putting the tinfoil hat on, you start thinking about it a little bit. Really tough to bring gold to the moon or Mars, I should say. You know, a lot easier to bring the future of money on a Trezor. A lot easier. A lot less weight. Who knows? But I thought it's super interesting. The SpaceX IPO is going to be absolutely huge news. And we got more really interesting IPOs coming up this year. But they got what? 18,712 Bitcoin in their treasury, which they haven't sold. So great to see it. And we'll see what happens here. Maybe they start really prepping for the next leg up.
I like it. Yeah, I think that's going to be get your popcorn type of IPOs coming up between SpaceX, OpenAI, Anthropic. All those big names seem to be coming to the plate. So something to watch, something to report on, which we will do. But kind of ties into our last point is like, what do you think about Bitcoin and Ethereum? The vibes are low, but I don't know. It's still mainstream. We got Drake. Drake dropped a bunch of new albums last week, calling himself the Iceman. So Drake rapped about Bitcoin in his new song Dust. I'm a BTC crypto big timer. I think he even shouted out, was it Sam Bankman-Fried? Maybe just,
yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, so Bitcoin's still mainstream. What do you think? Drake getting in there.
All right. This is kind of a hot take, man. You know, we like Drake, you know, unbelievable artist. Makes me a little nervous. He's talking about Bitcoin because have you ever seen those bet slips he's had?
Yeah, like, those bets are tough.
He's like, have you ever seen the movie The Bronx Tale? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
There's a guy who bets on anything. They call him Mush. Mush. You know, if Mush has a bet on it, Drake feels kind of like Mush. I don't think he's too small, even though he's huge. He's too small to take down Bitcoin himself, but I did see this. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Drake's rapping about Bitcoin. It's still mainstream. Then I was like, oh, Drake's rapping about Bitcoin. maybe sell your Bitcoin, Drake, so we can get to 100,000.
Yeah, but maybe Drake's just like Bitcoin, where you're always down and out and dead. But then even the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship. He won a lot of money on that. And
great call.
Them all the way. So
great call. And you only need one winner, man. You can have 20 losers, but one big winner, and this is the winner we need him. I don't
care
about
wrong.
If he...
You're not wrong. You're just early. That's exactly what I said earlier. So, yeah.
Zoom out.
For those who don't know, Drake's from Toronto. He represents the Six. Big Toronto sports fan. And the Raptors won with Kawhi Leonard years ago. So, yeah, I don't know. Drake's not a total loser when it comes to bets.
Okay. Redemption arc. He's so back. He's so back. I'm back on Drake with Bitcoin then, just with that Toronto Raptor call. But he really needs to stop sharing his betting slips, or we need to start counter trading him.
Fading him. Oh, let's see. We got Kevin Stanley in the chat. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kevin Stanley, the bandit's in here.
Go.
BTC Harpist checking out late, starting from the top hype. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely go back. Watch this from the top when you can. Any final thoughts for the people? We did it a Thursday, nice little early Thursday here as we head into the holiday weekend. Any Memorial Day weekend or crypto advice for the people to enjoy their weekend?
Yeah, get outside, touch some grass. You know, it's a cliche thing to say, but everyone should enjoy the weekend a little bit. I don't think we're going to get an official sign off on the Clarity Act or Strategic Reserve over the weekend. So unless you're absolutely glued to the charts in some momentum plays like I always am, get out there, enjoy it a little bit, because we're going to be back with you next week. We're going to be talking about all things crypto, and I think everyone should kind of, you know, enjoy the holiday a little bit. Do you have any plans?
I don't know. Down in Tampa Bay, it's getting a little hot. I mean, we're gonna go outside. We're going to hit the boats. We're going to rip some jet skis, crush a couple beers. I mean, it's like... It's just America. Just America. Flag Murder. Flying on one side, the Bitcoin, Ethereum flag flying on the other side.
Do you think you are the number one crypto personality, if we like put a poll up on Twitter, that people, the regular person, would want to go and have a beer with and party on a boat? You would be my number one. You're like my number one even outside the crypto circle, man. Do you think if we opened up a poll, you would just over... David Hoffman would get smoked. He sold all his ETH.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to. I'm not gonna put. I don't know if I have the notoriety of those other people. They obviously have bigger programs and social media reach for sure. But we've got the Crypt Nation community, and that's all I need at the end of the day. So I don't know. I think. I don't know about if I'd win the vote. I think our crew, whoever came on my boat, would definitely have the best time. I promise you that.
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, I think if I could take one video, it would be you shotgunning a beer with the sheer speed. If you know, you know. TiVo probably set a world record. So if we posted that with the tweet, you would overwhelmingly win.
Yeah, actually, Kevin Stanley's in the chat. I don't know if he's still here, but Kevin saw this live. I hold the world record for fastest beer chugged on turn 3 at Talladega Speedway. So that's a fun fact for everybody. It's not the official Guinness Book World Record because you have to pay them to come out and be there, and it's the backwoods of Alabama, but it is a world record. It's just not a Guinness Book World Record. Turn 3 Talladega shotgun. I own it.
I thought I could chug a beer, man, and then I saw you chug a beer once, and I was like, holy smokes. That's like the guy at Barstool they just hired that's like does it for a living, man. I was like, why is TiVo not back there, man? He can sling them with the best of them. But
Yeah. No, we got to get some more beers this weekend. Memorial Day weekend. I'm always down. I'm always down to hang out with even people in the space if we want to show them a good time. That's why we're not featured on the consensus stages and stuff. They know we'd have too much fun. We know we'd bring the noise. That's the problem.
Too many hot picks, too much fun. That's why we keep it in the house here with everybody in our community. That's why we keep it at the rundown. No, but I just hope I love doing these rundowns here with you in the community and the chat's fire. And I think everyone should just enjoy the weekend again, because we're going to probably have some fire picks on our next rundown. There's always something to talk about. There's
always something to talk about. It's super fun. Most people fade away in the summer. Not us. We'll still be around. We'll be making content. One final call. If we could just pump up the likes. I don't see enough likes there for the amount of people that are watching this live. I need to pump the likes. Hit up the thumb. Really appreciate everybody joining us, and as always, everybody on the audio as well. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our show, our community. That's all for us. We really hope you enjoy your holiday weekend. We'll be back next week. Actually, hold on, pause. Little sneak peek here. Long weekend. We're gonna slide out another piece of content. We're gonna put out the Wrecked interview that you did, you and Joe did. So a little little sneak peek for the people. We'll put out an extra episode maybe Sunday for Rec, because we talked about it on the rundown a lot. We can cover that next week too to promote it when it's out live. But for those that followed Rec Drinks and that that storyline, and we definitely brought it up on the podcast a lot, we have an interview with Rec, so we want to put that out to you guys. That's gonna be Brian and Joe. So yeah, a little Memorial Day weekend treat for the community. If you're traveling home and not too hungover, you can enjoy Rec Drinks and hydrate there and get some energy from Wrecked. But enjoy your holiday weekend, guys. Hopefully everybody has a fun, safe time. Definitely go touch some grass, grill some dogs, flip some burgers, and we'll talk to you guys next week. That's all for now. Bye-bye, everybody.